From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Sabine Pooks, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Tuesday, December 31st, and here are today's headlines. It's the last night of 2024, and towns across Vermont are ringing in the new year with an array of events. In St. Johnsbury, First Night North will host nearly 70 shows, from music to dance to comedy. Brattleboro's Last Night celebration includes free ice skating, a disc golf tournament, and a family contra dance. And in Burlington, the city's highlight event will feature circus performances, live music, and fireworks. Zach Williamson with Burlington City Arts says the event will also feature a now annual tradition, burning a wooden sculpture of Champ at the waterfront.
If you haven't seen that yet, you really don't want to miss it. It is awesome. And if you have seen it, it's a different sculpture every year. You don't want to miss it this year. It's going to be really great.
The Champ effigy will be burned in Burlington's Waterfront Park after the 8 p.m. fireworks show. City officials in Montpelier dealt with an ice jam on the Winooski River yesterday. Waters peaked yesterday afternoon at only a couple feet below the action level, which is when flooding precautions go into effect. The city discharged warm, treated effluent from the wastewater resource recovery facility to melt the ice. Ice jams happen when warm weather follows periods of cold, which leads to ice chunks piling up in rivers. Scientists say these freeze-thaw patterns are happening more often because of human-caused climate change. Well, for a doctor's appointment done by video or phone, Vermont health insurance companies will soon have to provide the same coverage they would for an in-person visit. A new state law is geared toward increasing access to care for people who can't easily get to an appointment in person and might not have internet access. And it's only for visits that are appropriate for telehealth, like follow-up appointments, or visits for managing chronic kidney disease or mental health. That's according to Jessica Barnard, the head of the Vermont Medical Society.
So you're not going to have your annual physical over a phone call, but phone calls tend to work really well for things like maybe medication management.
The new law goes into effect tomorrow, January 1st, and does not apply to commercial insurance companies that aren't regulated by the state. And speaking of January 1st, tomorrow, staff and volunteers with Vermont State Parks will lead hikes at over a dozen trails throughout the state. It's a tradition that happens at state parks all over the country. The free guided hikes are open to anyone with a range of ability levels, says Rebecca Roy, who coordinates the program.
Some of them are super easy hikes. They're really designed for families of all ages. There's one that happens at Owl's Head in Groton State Forest. There's usually toddlers, infants, and they make hot chocolate in the picnic shelter.
Another hike goes up Mount Mansfield for hikers looking for more of a challenge. You can find more information and sign up by searching for Vermont State Parks First Day Hikes. Coming up, two Vermonters with different political beliefs get to know each other as part of a collaboration between Vermont Public and StoryCorps. That's after this. This year, Vermont Public and StoryCorps invited you to participate in one small step, to have a meaningful conversation with someone different and not so different than you. One Small Step pairs strangers with different political beliefs, not to debate politics, but to get to know each other as people. As we end 2024, let's listen in on part of a conversation between two Vermonters who met for a lively conversation at the Vermont Public Studios this month.
My name is Jason McConnell. I am 46 years old. I'm from Sheldon, Vermont.
I'm Kyle Dodson. I'm 58 years old. Burlington, Vermont is where I'm from. Jason, what made you want to do this interview today?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people, my observation in the general public and the American culture today is that we're deeply fragmented and maybe even hostile in some ways. Politics is a huge conversation, especially after just coming through another election cycle. And yeah, just a lot of derogatory, disparaging comments about people who are on the other side that maybe don't come from our background or share our beliefs or viewpoints. And so that's deeply troubling to me, and I don't like that. If there's anything that I can do to help fix that issue, I want to be there for that. And how about you, Kyle? What made you want to be a part of this interview today?
I'm increasing on a bit of a quest to have more of these conversations and really try to deeply understand why we're having so much difficulty at the household level, right? And then the neighborhood, the community, the state, the nation, it's just, it's horrific. I really don't get it. It doesn't, because I don't feel that, right? I just, I deeply want to understand it because I don't want the world, I don't like moving in that world.
You know, we so often generalize, right? Like, yeah. Oh, you know, she's black, she must be a Democrat, or, you know, he's white and rural, he must be Republican. And those stereotypes are just not particularly helpful because we get surprised all the time. And if we can, you know, get past the assumptions and just sit down and actually have a real conversation with people, all of a sudden we learn that we all come from somewhere, we have rich lives, experiences that have, and people that have shaped us along the way to make us who we are, for good or ill. And if we can work through some of those ills and help each other do that, I think we'd be a lot better off.
No.
Kyle, could you briefly describe in your own words your personal political views?
Yes. I would say I currently am a registered Democrat. When I describe myself, I would say that I'm independent, and that's more independent thinking. Mm-hmm. I want to reserve the right to make my decisions based on the merits of the case. If it's a policy issue, if it's a candidate, whatever, I want the granular detail. I don't want to just say I do this because of this 30,000-foot level identity that I've chosen to take. I'm horribly frustrated by the current politics. For black folks in particular who've had negative experiences, because I am definitely convinced that at the systemic level, things are not the same. Because of our history, colonialism, imperialism, white racism, slavery, the power base is still with white people, right? There's more white male senators, there's more white male CEOs, everywhere where there's power, and power makes a difference. So when people say, I don't believe there's such a thing as reverse racism, but I do believe there's discrimination and prejudice and bias that works in every direction. Our politics has to deal with that, right? Because politics and power are, can't be separated. And all you have to do is look at the Congress, which is better, but the Senate is overwhelmingly white male. And the presidents, except for Barack, which is a notable exception, is overwhelmingly white males. So when we vote, when we think about politics and how we redress things, I don't have the answer, but I do think that if one claims to have a moral compass and care about people, you have to reconcile that. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be a rule of law. Without the rule of law, everyone loses, particularly the most vulnerable, who are who progressive people seem to want to stick up for. If we tear everything apart, the power and the money is going to crush people. Like, the only thing we have, the rule of law, even if it works imperfectly, it does protect us. And so we have to make it better, but we can't, like, say, get rid of it. It's ludicrous.
It's fascinating to listen to you talk. And I typically vote Republican, but same as you. I'm an independent thinker. I did not vote for Trump either time. And so even though I'm probably more with him on policy issues, it's a matter of personal character that I just cannot get behind him. I can't do it. I have to be able to sleep at night.
I'm really eager to talk about if maybe you and I can partner somehow to, you know, to kind of take this conversation and have some impact. You have a flock in Franklin area. I'm fairly well connected in the Burlington area, and I'm constantly thinking, yeah, how do we do better? I'm hopeful that we can do our brave little state thing. Let's keep it local. Let's do Vermont. Let's try to figure out, take advantage of the fact that we live in this small place. We can come together and let's not get caught up in the national hype. Let's do like a little Vermont thing. Let's see if we can reach across the table and collaborate and at least like our little patch of soil, do something here that's uncommon, which is to get out of the way of our ego, reach across the aisle, say, you're a human being.
This conversation's been fantastic. Same thing from when we met in the lobby and started talking about skiing. We had something in common immediately. You get two guys from two different worlds and they share a hobby or a pastime or an interest, and all of a sudden we're off and rolling. But through the course of the conversation, that's only warmed up even more as I've gotten to know you through this process. And as, again, I appreciate your openness, your honesty. You're extremely bright, articulate. Yeah, just the way you describe the problems spot on. Again, we may disagree on how do we get to those solutions, but if you can't even agree on the problems, we're going to be in a pretty bad spot. Yeah, this is a delightful conversation. I'd love to continue this on a ski lift with you sometime, which would be great. I think we could probably figure that out. And we both in our life have had some positions of influence. Me with a pulpit, you with the Y. Sounds like we were both on school boards at least at one time. And so that, you know, that's where it's actually happening publicly. Sure. And I think it's what I love about One Small Step is that at the very least we're modeling listening. You're like, you're a great listener and extremely thoughtful in your responses and courteous and kind. Like you ooze compassion. It'd be hard not to like you. And so to me, this is where it starts. And again, it's an individual level and it needs to get to a systemic level. And if, you know, even someone is listening to this saying, huh, there's a, you know, a black man left of center and a white man right of center having a pretty good conversation on the radio, I feel like that's a win for the country.
I would hope so. Yeah. Let's start. One small step.
Perhaps. One small step.
That was an excerpt of a One Small Step conversation between Kyle Dodson of Burlington and Jason McConnell of Sheldon, facilitated and produced by Vermont Public's Karen Anderson. You can find out more about StoryCorps and Vermont Public's efforts to bridge the political divide at vermontpublic.org/StoryCorps. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Abigail Giles, and Lexi Krupp. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Sabine Pooks. Talk to you later, and have a happy new year.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.